Renewable energy is increasingly in the headlines more and more. We're seeing more solar energy projects, wind, other alternatives. And we're going to be talking today to Craig Shields about renewable energy. And he has a book out called Renewable Energy, Following the Money, about how there has been an effort from some of the big utility companies, power companies, to stifle the effort. Craig, good to have you with us on the program.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Bob.
It seems like these huge energy companies, and we know who they are all over the country, have sort of been forced into doing some of these renewable projects. Without government regulation, would they have done them at all, do you think?
Well, it's such an interesting concept. And yes, there are progressive utilities and there are regressive utilities. But I think, when I look at this thing, I say to myself, let's be fair here. 100 years ago, we gave orders to the utilities to do something extremely specific, and they did it, to the letter. We said, we will pay you an extremely consistent level of profit associated with your ability to get us inexpensive, reliable power. Now, 100 years later, we want to tell them something else. In other words, we're allowed to change our minds every century, it seems to me, and say, yeah. By the way, now the problem with what we told you 100 years ago is that it's killing us in four or five different ways, and now we have a new set of instructions for you. It seems to me that we're within our rights to do that, and so it's up to the way we regulate our utilities and incentivize our utilities to actually make that shift. And I would like to think we're in the process of getting that done.
Well, it seems like it. Certainly, California is one of the states that has very stringent percentages that have to be provided by renewable energy, and that's taking place there now. I guess the debate, though, has to do with cost. It seemed to be when solar energy was first introduced, it was going to be a low-cost alternative. That has not turned out to be the case. We have these huge projects in the Southwest, like the Mojave Desert, Ivanpah, and some of these others that are guaranteeing the utilities, I think, 11%. That's very high. It's almost as high as some of the nuclear power plants. And so people, I think, are beginning to wonder, why is it so high?
Well, it's an interesting, the whole thing from a societal, from the standpoint of civilization, this is a very interesting and difficult calculus. So you've got all kinds of stuff going on associated with the fact that the cost of solar is crashing like a stone, as an example. You've got the fact that we're at 4% wind, and we can get another, that's on a national average, and we can get another, we could double that without really running into too many problems associated with energy storage and the like, but eventually we're going to hit the wall there too. Wind is dirt cheap. The problem is transmission of wind energy from the point at which it's generated to a population center when we need it, and those are there. But that gets into things like smart grid and high voltage DC transmission. Right. This is a very interesting and difficult calculus when you add up all of the things we're trying to do, add up the fact that the prices of all of this stuff are falling.
Wait a minute. I don't think solar power is falling. I mean, if you go to look and to put in, just as an individual, in a solar installation in a house is very expensive. And I've talked to solar people for 25 years. Oh, the costs will go down. They haven't gone down a bit. It costs $20,000, $25,000 to put a solar system in your house. I mean, that's ridiculous. These are just passive solar panels. What's the problem?
Well, I dispute the facts on this, and this is going to be difficult because I don't have them in front of me. But I've been reading articles every day for the last couple of weeks on the actual falling costs, certainly of panels, but also of the balance of system. I think it essentially comes down to this: if we have no appetite for change, and if we have no appetite for the possibility of paying a little bit more here and there for renewable energy, and if we really don't care about the externalities of what we're doing vis-a-vis generating energy with coal and other fossil fuels and nuclear and so forth, then this is going to be a long, slow slog. It's going to be, Shell Oil said not too long ago that they fully expect by 2060, 47 years from now, that solar will dominate solar will have overtaken all of this stuff. But my question is, well, if we do we really think we have 47 more years of business as usual on this planet in terms of, you know, fossil energy resource extraction? I don't. I mean, and the reason I don't is because the informed scientists studying this problem don't.
Well, those
so
are, those
it all
problem.
Comes down to
Those are probably the same people that are talking about global warming, which we all know has now been debunked. If you want to look at, you know, let's to me, this is a cost situation. I mean, you know, obviously, I think every homeowner would put a solar system on their roof if they could get it for a decent price, particularly if you're in an area in the Southwest where there's a lot of sun, there's a lot of areas you can do this. This is one area where utility companies have really, I think, you know, gone down the wrong path. They ought to be encouraging it more, but they have stockholders to take care of and all of those things. Obviously, they're not going to make a lot of money on solar unless it's through one of these huge plants. We have to do individual solars. We could even do individual wind, all of these things. I think the emphasis on these big power plants is one of the problems. I don't know how you see that, but that's where I see it.
Well, not to over, you know, talk about how difficult all this stuff is. And by the way, let me just inform your readers, your listeners, that a lot of this content can be found on my website, which is 2GreenEnergy, the number 2GreenEnergy.com. But another dynamic of this whole thing is what you're talking about now, which is distributed generation. So if you, for instance, have a region, say Boulder, Colorado, that's had it up to their eyeballs with the local power company selling them dirty power, and they want to go off and do something on their own. You know, they've got a royal fight in terms of a legal battle associated with it. Now, what happens if it just happens slowly? What happens if, you know, 2%, then 5%, then 15% of the local residents in a given area go off the grid or go into some net metering situation where they're on the grid, but they're using essentially no electricity from the grid, and therefore their electricity bills are near zero. So then you got a problem where, you know, they're using the grid for free. They're using the capital equipment that somebody else installed at somebody else's expense. And they're essentially getting a free ride. So you've got, again, it goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, and that is nobody could have possibly contemplated things like climate change, ocean acidification, lung damage, et cetera, associated with our generating electricity, and therefore nobody could have possibly anticipated the fact that we would need to change our mandate and ask our utilities to do something fundamentally different.
Well, that's true, and of course we're seeing that you know, the game has changed as far as that goes. But I really think this boils down to you're going to get a lot more support from this if costs come down. And I don't know. You said solar's coming down. I haven't seen it, but you know, maybe in some areas of the country. But I don't know why areas like Nevada and Arizona, everybody should have a solar panels on their roof. My gosh, that would it's passive system, it's reliable, and I think we need to go more toward individual as opposed to these big power plants, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I don't disagree. I see distributed generation as an extremely important part, now, by the way, not only of consumers but of businesses. So Walmart and gosh, you know, companies a lot smaller are taking their energy generation under their own and saying, you know, we've had it with this utility model. We can do this better and cheaper on our own. So this is going to, you know, I'm very glad. I'm reminded of the fact that when I was, you know, I'm 58 years old, it was more than 50 years ago that my mother gave me some stock in Portland General Electric and said, there is nothing more stable than the utility system. You could live 1,000 lifetimes, and there's nothing that could possibly happen to this stock because of the relationship that the utilities have with their customers. Well,
right.
Fast forward 50 years, and, you know, a lot of things are changing in a heck of a hurry.
Well, they sure are. Well, Craig, good to talk to you. I want to give your website again, which is the number 2GreenEnergy.com. Your book, also Renewable Energy, Following the Money. Thanks so much for talking to us. Great discussion.
All right, Bob. Thanks so much for having me on.